This is the A2R Recovery Service podcast. Copyright Dave Cooper, all rights reserved.
Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another podcast for the Alternative to Rehab Recovery Service. And today I want to talk to you about the process of grieving. You may think of it in another way. You may think of it as mourning, grieving. It all means basically the same thing. And you might say to yourself, what's that got to do with trying to recover from, you know, a gambling addiction or a heroin addiction or so on? Well, surprisingly, you're going to find it has a lot to do with it. But before we start talking about grieving at all, I just want to remind ourselves of one thing, and that is that when I'm talking about recovery or anything to do with recovery in the context of our exercises or applying something to our recovery, that I'm always talking about what I would call authentic recovery. I'm always talking about what I call genuine recovery. So let's just make that distinction again, just to make it clear before we go on. The difference, generally speaking, is between something someone might call a recovery, which is actually no more than abstinence. Basically, if you tell yourself to stop doing something, if you tell yourself to stop taking something, then you get what's called clean time. You start to develop clean time. And, you know, of course, this is a start. This is what we've got to do. The problem is when you don't do anything else, when nothing else emerges apart from just telling yourself to stop, then not only are you not achieving authentic recovery, but because all you've got essentially is abstinence, then what's happening is you're taking away essentially the only layer of protection you have against your discomfort and the thing that you wanted an exit from in the first place. Now, what's the difference with authentic recovery? Well, when we start to achieve authentic recovery, it's about change work and transformation of a person at a quite a deep level. And what it means is that a person will get to a place where they're not only not taking the substance, they're not only not practicing and behaving in addictive ways, but they're not fighting it off either. It's a position of some comfort. The idea that it's no longer an effort to not be taking this stuff or to fight it off every day, but that you've got comfortable with the idea of living without it. Now, that is more like genuine recovery. And everything that you hear on this website or anything that I might teach is based on applying it to authentic recovery. If you try and apply some of these things, such as grieving and the idea of grieving, the idea of balance and so on, and exits and all that kind of stuff, if you try and apply that to abstinence, it won't work, because you're simply not doing the therapy or the change work that's needed in order to make it effective. So with that having been said, we're going to talk about grieving or mourning today and its application to an authentic recovery. Let's start with the woman, a little bit of history. The woman who developed this initially, her name was Kubler-Ross, and she worked in a hospice where people were beyond medical help and they were going for palliative care in order to die. And she worked in there for many years as a therapist. And what she started to notice was that people went through a process. She started to identify a process which had five stages and has been found to be so universally true that we've used it in all manner of ways since. Quite a remarkable journey this understanding has gone on, because we started, obviously, Kubler-Ross was applying it to people who were dying. So the first way it got applied was when a person was accepting the fact that they were dying. But then quite quickly after that, other therapists started to apply it to the mourning process generally. This is when a family or a loved one was dying, because it was found that everybody goes through the same process, whether you're dying or whether a loved one is dying. And then they started to apply it even more widely, and they started to say, well, actually, people seem to go through this process when just about anybody dies that they know, particularly anyone who's important to them. And then people like myself in addiction and different counselling contexts have ended up applying it to when anything dies. So we've now found that this thing applies universally when, particularly, say, if you lost a job, an important job, and you were made redundant or you lost that job, that a grieving process would then immediately start. Or if someone sees signs of ageing in themselves, for instance, similarly, you'll see that same process take over. When an institution changes, a manager of a football club who's been there a long time, mentioning no names, that can set off a grieving process, and so on. So it's very widely applied, and now we're going to just see what that process is and see how we can apply it to genuine recovery. So I want to talk about the process itself and the five stages. We'll come to the first stage, known as denial. Now, doesn't that ring a bell? It seems obvious almost now when we talk about the grieving process, and we say that the first stage is definitely denial. Now, this happens whether, as Kubler-Ross found, people were dying themselves. The first thing they did was deny it and say, I feel fine, there's no problem. I know the tests say different, but, I'll be fine, I'll probably be okay. They'd live in a place mentally that is a place of denial. And this is the same is true when we first hear that someone has died, and we might say, oh, no, that can't be true, I was talking to him this morning, and so on. And the same is true when we are confronted by loved ones or by professionals with the idea that we're addicted, that we are hopelessly addicted, that we are beyond our own sense of control. We deny it and we say, no, I'm fine, I can stop any time, it's not got me, and so on. So that's the first stage. The second stage is called bargaining, and is very interesting psychologically. And if anyone has gone through it or is going through it currently, you'll definitely recognise it. After we've given up on denying it and we realise that it is happening, there's a sense that I can do something about it without having to actually recover. When Kubler-Ross first saw people who were dying, she noticed bargaining in different ways. Like they would say, I'll give money to charity or something. That it was, you could see that they were starting to think, I can do something to get out of this. I can be better, or I can, I'll talk to my family more or something. And there's a sort of a bargaining stage. And in addiction, people go through this with their families. They start saying, well, I'll only drink at weekends, or, if it wasn't for the way you are, I'd be fine, and so on. And there's a lot of bargaining that goes on before we accept this thing full on. The third and fourth stages she found to be interchangeable, in the sense that if stage three is depression and stage four is anger, then often the anger can come before the depression, and the depression can come before the anger, and so on. And they seem to be interchangeable. Some people go through one first or the other first, and in some people one's more important than the other. But there's definitely a stage of depression, which is totally necessary. And again, depression gets a bad press. People say, oh, I'm depressed and everything. It's just a totally negative thing. And of course, if we're stuck in depression, which is what happens in the grieving process, by fighting it, then of course it can be very debilitating. Some people who've been depressed for years, this is not what we're talking about. But depression as something that lasts for a day or two or a few days is a perfectly natural process in which I often think of an image of a factory. We're producing goods. This is mentally I'm talking about now. We have like a mental factory. And in order to produce different goods, in other words, in order to accept change, we have to shut the factory down and we have to put in new machinery and we have to change the way we produce our reality. And to do this, we have to shut the factory down and change the machinery. And what happens then? Well, we're flat. We're flat, there's no product. We're shut down, we're not really working. And that we tend to call depression. It's when everything looks grey and flat and there's no life in anything. Well, we're not producing. So, but we need to do that in order to become an effective reality-producing factory again. So depression, you know, as long as it doesn't hang on, which is, generally speaking, that's when we're fighting it. Now, the key to all of this process, which we're calling mourning, is to accept it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to accept the different stages. You have to say, I'm in denial at the moment, just for today. Just for right now, I'm denying stuff. Just for right now, I'm bargaining. I'm in a bargaining phase. Just for right now, I'm depressed. Just for right now, I feel angry about it. I don't see why I have to be an alcoholic and the bloke down the street can still drink. I don't see why it doesn't seem fair. I'm angry. But finally, we get to the fifth stage, and the fifth stage she found to be acceptance. People, before they died, she found regularly seemed to reach a position of bliss, a position of perfect acceptance that everything was going to be fine and this is just the way life is. And like any other stage, we have to accept what is going on, what is real, what is true, and by accepting it, we move on. This process is perfectly natural. You don't have to do anything to start it. You don't have to do anything to complete it. You simply have to stop blocking it. Now, what happens when we deny any of these stages? When we deny them, we say, no, I'm not depressed, I'm fine. No, I'm not angry, through gritted teeth. You know, I'm fine. What happens is then we get stuck in the very thing we don't want to show, and this is a terrible trap. When somebody is depressed and is trying to avoid letting people know they're depressed, what happens? Well, horror of horrors, the very thing they're trying to avoid, they become more depressed. And of course they've got to hide it even more, and then it becomes a terrible trap. And people can be in this trap for many years. So the main thing is to accept the position that you're in, and that allows it to flow naturally into the next stage. And so you don't have to be there any longer than you need to be. Now, I hope that this is making sense to you and that you're able to now apply it to your own recovery, because I need to talk now about exactly how it applies. You see, when we talk about authentic recovery, when we talk about genuine recovery, we're talking about really the idea of somebody dying and being born again. Literally, it's like you're a new person. And that new person has different beliefs. Different things are important to them. They have done the therapy work. They are no longer in the grip of that addiction. And it's important to allow yourself to go through that mourning, that grieving process for your old self. That's right. You as you were. And if you think about, particularly I was thinking about like a wake, the way the Irish have a wake. What do? They talk about that person. They tell stories, they have a laugh, and they say, you know, I remember this time and I remember that time. You see, not all of your addiction was bad, was it? Some of it was fun, some of it was very attractive, some of it, you know, let's be honest, if it was still working, you'd still be doing it. You know, it was attractive to you and you're going to miss it. And it's okay to miss it. You know, so long as you realise it's gone, and realising it's gone, the grieving process, is something you can allow yourself to go through. Once you say to yourself, that person is gone. He was okay, she was okay, you know, she had some good points, but she's gone now, and we have to move on. And allowing yourself to go through this process of saying, I am now a new person and I don't think the way that I used to think. And then we can reach this acceptance stage, this lovely stage of saying, this is how life is. Just like anyone else with a chronic condition, I have to accept it. I can't get away from it, but I can manage it. I can deal with it, and I can outgrow a lot of the symptoms of it. So, questions now for this grieving process. Ask yourself, first of all, do I accept this idea? If you don't accept it, there's a good chance you're not talking about authentic recovery, but you're simply the same person who's simply telling themselves not to do it anymore. Well, good luck with that. My experience is it won't work. You need something more, and I urge you to think about doing something more now. If you're able to say, yes, this does make sense to me, then the next question is, where are you? Are you still in that denial stage? Are you in bargaining? Are you depressed? Are you angry? Are you approaching acceptance? Wherever you are, I urge you to accept it and to say to yourself as part of your affirmation on a daily basis, to say to yourself, just for today, just for right now, I am in denial. Just for right now, I'm still bargaining. Once you do this, it's important that I, again, underline the idea, you don't have to force the process. All you have to do is accept where you are and you will start to move on. Well, I hope you got something out of that. And until next time, I'll say goodbye.